Welcome to Juice Talk. What's up, boys?
Welcome to Juice Talk. Full disclosure, I have to leave in 10 minutes. So you guys are going to be on as long as...
What's the best... Has anyone picked up anything? I mean, it's been several months since we've...
Yeah.
Since we've done this. Has anybody picked up anything
picked up
or tried anything especially interesting or good? That's...
Oh. Yeah,
kind of off of the...
I don't want to say anything in case it's a blind.
No, fair enough. Fair enough.
I'll tell you, though.
No. It's all right. If you want to save it for blind, save it for blind. It's okay.
I'll share. Cause
I've got a couple that I'll save for
blind.
Mine's
not going
to be a blind, so... I picked up, Booker's Batch 3.
I'm shifting this to Juice Talk, by the way.
Is that Juice Talk?
Do we want to... We can make this a Juice Talk. It's been...
Sure. Yeah, Juice Talk.
We're an hour and 59 minutes in, so we can carve out part of this to make it just talk.
Yeah,
because I'd also love to get your take on the state of the bourbon market, with the shuttering of the cooperage of Brown-Forman and some of these other things that are happening.
That's fine. So Matt, anyways, as you were saying,
I was just asking if anybody picked anything up, especially interesting.
What did you pick up? Good. You said you picked up something.
I don't know if it's interesting, but I mean the single barrel Saturday in Ohio. I got Weller Full Proof, and Tommy and I opened that up on the Ohio State Texas game.
I forgot how good it was.
Yeah, we
truthfully.
Yeah, and then I got an Elijah Craig single barrel, barrel proof, which haven't opened yet.
So good.
Colin brought me. Colin's my brother-in-law, future guest of the podcast. He brought me back Elijah Craig barrel proof toasted. Store pick from Arizona.
That's awesome.
I'm excited to choose
that.
That
is awesome.
I know. Yeah. Well, no, I had to pay him for it, but he brought it back for me. He shipped it. So, and then the Booker's Batch 3, which
is that Jimmy's
of 2024.
What is Batch 3?
Ooh, I don't know. It's just the sticker on the side. It just says Batch 3. So
yeah,
I was gonna
on the sticker on the very left.
It says the name.
Take a look at it. Okay, I'll take a look at it. I've agreed to. I think Colin has the Batch 2 of 2024. So I think we're gonna open that together and just see.
Donahoe. Yeah,
nice. Yeah.
Two.
So I've tried some great bourbons, but those are the ones I've purchased. So
our buddy Chris said Jimmy's batch from Booker's was really good. I bought it in the first few sips. I was like, I don't know what he's tasting. It's slowly grown on me, but I hope Batch 3 is not
Chris
Jimmy's
has.
Batch.
I mean, Chris has pretty unique taste. I think
Batch 3 is, or I think Batch 4 is actually Jimmy's batch.
Jimmy's batch is 4.
Yeah, and he, the way that I read that is he was trying to give pay homage to Jimmy Russell.
Correct.
And I like Russell's product. Whew, love it, but. Wasn't digging this stuff.
Master Distillers Batches 3.
Well, we all got the chance to try.
Beam House Batches 2.
Yeah.
Heaven Hill.
I had Beam House Batch
for Christmas.
18.
Which was 18, sorry.
Which
was awesome.
Ooh, that was great.
Was really good.
So good.
Would you say, Tommy, the highest rating?
It was the highest for our little group that we have. It was the highest rated whiskey that we've tried.
Sick.
It was really
good. I think collectively on an average we rated as like a 4.1 or something.
What was the proof point on that again?
Because
it's a higher proof.
Because
Elijah Craig 18 is only like less than 100, right?
Elijah Craig 18 is like a 90 proof.
Yeah,
I think.
It's like, and I well, all of the reviews, and I feel like I've had it at some point. Was that one of our unicorn bottles or no?
Mm-mm.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know if I've ever had it then.
I have been told that Elijah Craig 18 is one year to year and two sometimes underwhelming.
I've heard it's disappointing.
That's what I've heard. They're all single barrels, I think.
Yeah, that's why.
If I remember correctly.
Which
I had it a few years ago and I was disappointed. I also tried it right in front of Stagg Jr. So maybe
I'm excited to try it now because I have low expectations and I'm like, man, whenever I have low expectations, I feel like I have like a random bourbon and I'm like, oh man, I really like this. But yeah, I've picked up a lot. I picked up a lot on the way to South Carolina and while I was in Hilton Head. It's like while I was dropping someone off at the airport and I text you, it's like they had a sale, quote unquote, on Eagle Rare. And it was like $99.99 for two bottles, and I was like, "Yeah, let's do
not
it."
Bad.
And I tried my dad while I was down there. I kept wanting to try this, the Basil Hayden 10, very, very underwhelming.
Basil Hadeem.
I was very disappointed. Yeah. Anyways, I went through most of it, but that was over the course of a week. I got a Rock Hill Farms single.
Can you bring that, please?
I'm actually really excited for
saving that for the birth of his third child. Rock Hill Single Farms.
It was a $1.99.
It's not child enough.
South Carolina, or excuse me, in Kentucky. So it was right across the river in Ohio. On my way down to Greenville, and I got an old Medley 12 there too, which I'd never seen.
I've nice. Never even heard of that.
Oh, wait, didn't you text
Charles,
us about this?
Charles Medley, right? Like the Wathens.
Wathens.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have a Wathens old Medley and then a barrel proof.
Sick.
You know.
Did you try the old Medley?
I haven't opened it yet. Oh. I'm waiting for like more of a special occasion because I'm probably propping that
on a pedestal
because I'm like, oh, 12. It's probably going to be pretty oaky. It's a lower proof point though. I mean, it's 95, I think. So it's like,
that's cool.
You know, hopefully it's sweeter, but
I'd like to go ahead and mark our next podcast as a special occasion.
For Rock Hill Farms?
For the 12. What'd you say? Wathens 12?
Old Medley 12.
Yeah, little Rock Hill Farms warm up followed by old.
Yeah. Rock Hill Farms is always such a great.
I'll bring something too.
Yeah, it's a really good starter.
This doesn't have to be an entire conversation, but Tommy and I, like when we opened the Weller Full Proof, I kind of looked at him after two drinks and I go, man, dude, that's just like really good bourbon.
Yeah, it is.
I just took it for granted.
It's always good.
Oh, man,
it's
just so good.
It is good.
And, like, you know, I know it's like.
Totally.
I guess it's cool to be like, whatever, man, there's better bourbons than Weller, blah, blah, blah. We just opened it up and it's just like first taste was like, yeah, that's
good.
Really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my favorite.
I think I said exactly that. Yeah, this is a really good bourbon.
Yeah. 14. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know.
It's always.
Because I don't think I'd had it since we did it for the group at Thomas's house.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. However many
years ago.
2021.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. Correct.
I did a tasting at the Athletic Club of single barrel, full proof.
That's right.
12 antique. And that was just like.
Yeah. That's a great tasting.
It was awesome. And it was like $50. Like it was it was like they were having like a crazy deal on like just, you know, come and do the tasting and like this is 100% worth it.
Yeah.
Should have stayed a member.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Dumb.
Well, you know, you might be a new Club 312 member.
They're debating moving to allow quarterly dues versus monthly. Versus annual.
There's a bourbon club in, I guess.
It's right across from the jewelry store.
Dave and I's hometown now.
Sure.
And it's, what was it? Maybe $1,600.
$1,600.
A year.
Mm-hmm. You get a locker.
It's a little.
Marysville?
It's a little tough to get behind, you know, paying to be a member.
Is all you get a locker for $1,600?
Pretty much.
You get. If I had to encompass it in one sentence, you get a locker and access to great bourbon.
Yeah.
So
that
the bottles up there.
That you have to pay for.
Yes. That's the tough part.
That's a hard sell.
That's a hard part.
Yeah.
So the environment is awesome. The fact that they go down and make their own barrel picks.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah,
does
they,
the club get to do
barrel
picks? Can you be involved in those?
They do that. That's pretty cool.
I think they have a board.
But you only get access.
Yeah. You only get access. You still have to buy. But it's upstairs. It's all.
It's cool.
It's old school like leather chairs.
Doc Henderson's?
Yes.
I'm not telling you it's worth it.
They completely redid the upstairs.
That's sick.
So
will I join? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Talk to your financial advisor.
My financial advisor told me he couldn't justify it himself.
And he said no, so he's going to make you pay for it and make it a write-off.
Here's my thing. Of course, my brother-in-law and Dave both text me, and they're like, yeah, dude, it's a write-off for you. You know, support the community, small business, blah, blah, blah.
Ding dong.
But it is hard because, I know I'm still going to go out and buy bottles. So
for
it's hard for me
That's
to say, hey,
lock
I'm going to go here.
You're going
to
lock.
Anyways, I think you guys should know that, you know, I did not choose to do this, but. I think it's a really cool concept. Honestly, I probably would have done it at $1,000. $1,600 is a lot.
It is.
But if you had $1,600 and I told this to Dave, if you could promise me like a free 2 ounce pour every month.
Yeah.
I just get to pick like from a range of bourbons. I get one pour a month. At least I can say, hey, once a month I get to go here, have a 2 ounce pour, and it's included in my membership. There's legal reasons they probably can't do that, but that would at least get me probably over the hump.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I'm going to round numbers here, right? So this is an annual membership, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So call it $1,500, round numbers.
Yep.
That is the equivalent to a Pappy 15 each year.
I know.
Yep. Would you rather purchase the Pappy 15 at secondary, have that on the shelf to sip on throughout the year, re-up your Pappy 15 the next year?
Yeah.
Or join the Bourbon Club, have access to single barrel picks of Lux Row, whatever.
I love the question.
I'm curious.
Yeah, I feel like the question needs to be asked to the ownership of this establishment.
That's fair.
Because they need to be the ones that put the
value. They
got to
set the price.
To their members as to why
would
you.
How do you justify it?
Right. Why? Yeah. Why would you not want to join me versus go buy a Pappy?
Like, I guess you, personally, because
somebody
I have
who's had it.
So personally, I'd probably choose Pappy 15 because I'd rather invite you guys over and say like, hey, let's play a round of golf and drink Pappy 15, and I think we would have a blast
for sure.
And I don't think that there's enough.
I like that idea.
I don't think that there's enough moments where I'm going to the place and, you know, sitting and drinking.
Here's
with
my
people
rebuttal.
To replace that.
Here's my rebuttal.
Rebuttal.
I'm like 60-40 on this opinion.
Dave's always right.
Here's the correct answer.
My only rebuttal is I work from home and I can finish my day there.
So you drink all day.
Yeah. Well, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Guilty.
Birdie the first hole.
No, but seriously, it's a lovely place to just plop down your laptop, finish a few calls, finish a few emails from like, you know,
your couch,
1 p.m. to
dude, the number one selling point. I don't know how you feel about this, but like the place is sweet. I almost texted you yesterday and said like, hey, do you want to go? But my day just got nuked yesterday. And
I actually did go yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. So I took
two calls there.
Where is it?
Are you a member?
Marysville.
No.
Right across from the jewelry store.
The first floor is,
like,
you know,
next
you can go in there and have
next
your drinks.
To Leon's?
Yes.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Leon's. Same ownership.
Yep.
Same.
Oh,
it's
okay.
That old
Bruce Daniels owns it.
It's the old house there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
He owns it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, he owns now, both.
He was in there yesterday.
He owns both Leon's and the shop.
The bourbon bar next door.
And Honda Marysville.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say something. I forgot about this. To give them their credit, this is a really cool part. Each month, they do have a bourbon group that meets at the club, if you will. I don't want to necessarily like reveal the name of the club because I don't, you know, it's kind of
it's
like
fine.
An underground society.
You're good.
Kind of thing.
You're
but
fine.
This club, they have like a once a month gathering. And the coolest thing that I thought about the entire club was the fact that they open a bottle from Bruce's collection.
Oh,
as a group.
Cool.
That's cool.
So it was like, hey, if Bruce has a Heaven Hill 18 and he gives us permission to open it, we'll just send you an email and say, hey, 2 or 3 Wednesdays from now, we're going to open Heaven Hill 18 as a group and just have a drink.
That's
and you get to like co-mingle with the members. I remember thinking, oh gosh, that's tough to go against. And the guy was like, hey dude, I'm just telling you, like Bruce has great bottles. You know, he just basically says, here's your budget, go out and buy cool stuff. Yeah. Done. And I was like, that's sweet. But if I start missing like 2, 3, 4 of those Wednesdays, then I'm going like, oh gosh, I paid $1,600 and I was out of town and couldn't make it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
When you're a member at Brookside and playing in the Wednesday evening
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
Yeah,
if they told me like it's a set, you know, I don't know. But there are some really cool aspects of the club.
We're closer than you think.
It's also it's sort of underground, but there's a website that gives you all of this information.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
It's, you know. But it's I mean, like, the upstairs is everything you would think of as a bourbon club. Like a little private bar.
It's sweet.
Leather chairs. It looks like a cigar lounge. And you can smoke cigars on the patio, but not inside. And I was like, oh, man, you guys would have me if I could light up a cigar here.
Speaking of, for those who enjoy a good cigar, if you're down in Kentucky on the Bourbon Trail, would highly recommend making a stop at Larrikin. It's down the street from Wild Turkey, but they have a full-fledged humidor at the distillery. Walk in, select your cigar, have some whiskey, smoke a cigar. It's like, it's pretty cool.
This is the one that you said is former military that started this place?
Correct.
And you just like happened to walk in and the guys was like, yeah, we'll show you everything.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
come
yeah.
on in. Like they're super
hospitable. Super friendly, super hospitable. Yeah.
Sick.
Awesome experience. Would highly recommend.
I'm going.
Oh, you that sounds it. Amazing. Boys, I got to head out. Yep. I feel honored to just be a member of the Juice podcast. So I just want to say that out loud. So, you know, thank you guys so much for having me on to the Juice. And
the
I
Juice channel, sponsored by the Pour for the Course.
Yeah, sponsored by Milholland and Mitchell. So thank you guys.
No free ads. You got to pay us.
Sorry about that. Roback, 20% off. So
use code
get out.
Use code 2020 to get the 14% increase on your stock investments.
Yeah, if you want to pay more for your clothing, just use the code POUR for the course.
Milholland and Mitchell Financial. If you want to get more money,
give us
a free
compliance. Code. I'm sorry. All right, boys. See ya.
Cheers, dude.
Yep.
Is there a shout out? A shout out to this particular. This particular random liquor store in Hilton Head. If you ever are down in Hilton Head, which I'm done.
Would love to get the invite sometime.
What do you mean you're done?
My mic is not picking up.
How about now?
Did you put his mic?
He's four.
You're one.
Are you muted?
I'm muted. I can't hear myself anymore.
Now you can hear yourself?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you're good now. The ones and the twos.
Try the other one.
I unmuted you.
Seems like we're done.
Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Next time you invite us to Hilton Head.
Anyways.
For the first time.
Rollers Wine and Spirits in, it's basically it's in Port Royal or close to Port Royal. Anyways, the girl was awesome. We like just talked. It was like 30 minutes before closing time. She had a bottle open. We just talked bourbon for like 30 minutes. She gave me a pour of a rye store pick that they have, and I ended up buying that rye store pick because it was $29.99.
Man, you've been ripping the ryes.
I had it and I was like, you know what? For $30, I'm not gonna find anything that I like better than this. But she was great. She like we chatted bourbon. She knows her stuff. And but yeah, shout out to that particular liquor store. Go in and talk with her. She's kind of she's just a good old boy / girl. Like right is like just. She just like likes bourbon and likes to talk about it. So, but yeah, I've been shooting my shot on a few bourbons, random rye. So, trying to expand my horizons a little bit and give things a. Although I wish I wouldn't have done it for Heaven's Door.
Well, South Carolina is all about relationships, so I'm glad you're building relationships with the store owners there in South Carolina.
She did have a. I mean, not that it's super hard to get Blanton's for the right price point, but she like had a Blanton's. She was like, you know, I'm saving it for someone else. But I'm like, okay, like if I get to know her well enough, maybe she'll hook me up with something at some point. So anyway.
Love it.
Is that a wrap?
Bottles that I've picked up. I actually snagged Fountain North's Hover Hock.
Oh, you did?
Wow.
Did you win the lottery?
I did.
Wow. Oh, good on you.
I was hoping Amy would have won,
too. I did not win the lottery.
You didn't win?
I did not win.
Daggum, bro.
But I'm hoping.
Well, so 10, batch 10.
I was going to say, I'm hoping the lack of win of the lottery for Hover Hock will lead me to the offer of winning something else, because that seems to be how they operate. But
they're awesome.
They are. They're great.
Amy and I both unknowingly signed up for 10, batch 10, and both won. And so I powered through one, and then I have batch 10 second bottle open, and I've been nursing that one for a while. But just got Hover Hock a couple of days ago. I've wanted to pop it open so bad because I think this looks sweet.
I love the labels on these special edition Found Norths. The Hoverhawk, I forget what the other ones are, but the different birds and things that they're naming them after, like, they're all supposed to be awesome.
They had like two labels and like they're spaced apart too. Yeah. And then this one's got like
Peregrine was the first one, right?
It's got a ton of super aged stuff.
Oh yeah.
Hoverhawk does.
They all do, like,
it's
impressive.
I can't remember the true makeup, but I'm excited to try that and see what it tastes like. I'll bring that. I guess I won't bring it as a blind. Now that you know I have it.
You could still. We might. We would have no idea.
We'd know when Matt said it's not very good.
Yeah, he won't.
And Dave.
He won't pick it.
That's fair. You were both, like, this is trash.
You were both very anti batch. What was it? Was it nine that I brought to? Was it nine eight, that I brought to Bandon?
Nine. I forget which one.
I think it was nine that I brought to Bandon.
Like yeah.
Two of us liked it. Two of us did not.
Other than that, since SBS, that's it. That's all I bought.
Just the Hoverhawk?
Yeah.
Nice. Yep.
Solid. Tommy?
Couple miscellaneous things. I picked up this Blue Run. This week, with the distributor, there was a special going on that if you spent $29, you got a mystery bottle. So uh-huh. I went ahead and dropped the $29 for the mystery bottle.
I like it.
Do please. Do tell.
So it's not one I've ever had before. So I'm intrigued to bring it as a blind.
Redwood Empire.
It's not Redwood Empire. But suffice it to say that at least based on the statistics and the retail price of the bottle, the $29.99 was well spent.
Calumet.
Not Calumet. So I'll bring that at some point. But otherwise, didn't get to participate in Single Barrel Saturday. I was in Chicago.
I'm still bummed by that. I had just gotten back from like a work trip and yeah, I was like, couldn't participate, but man, I would have definitely gotten a full proof and probably a Four Roses.
Yeah. But I did take my wife and I take a trip to Kentucky most December/Januarys with another couple friend of ours. So we did go down there, picked up a few bottles. We stopped in at Larrikin, which was the one I was talking about. Picked up the governor of Kentucky helped pick out a single barrel.
That's cool.
It was really good. So share that at some point. Trying to think where else we stopped. Buffalo Trace a couple times. Standard things. Nothing terribly exciting though. I haven't gone bananas in the bourbon acquisition game here recently. Trying to drink through a few times.
Same here. I was gonna say that to start the year, typically when budgets reset, I'll go heavy, but knowing that I'm going to the Natty game and all the other expenditures coming up, I'm like, I'm going to have to pinch on the bourbon. So I don't foresee a lot of new bottles coming into the Far household soon.
Cheers, fellas. Got to bounce.
All right, man.
Cheers.
See you guys.
Then there were two.
Just like the last time we were sitting.
Just like the last time.
Hey, I listened to it, and it was a good podcast, so.
We'll keep talk about you. Just see you, bruv.
I really hope you do drink out of your Pac Dunes glass tonight.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Well,
here we are.
Just
the two of us.
Two dudes hanging out.
Just a couple of bourbon drinkers.
Hanging out. What are we going to talk about?
we kind of talked about bottle pickups and everything else with all the other dudes.
What do you think about the bourbon market, just in general, with the Brown Foreman Cooperage closing and some of the other things going on?
I think they're leading edge. I get a sense that there'll be more of this. I don't like to see that, but the boom in the bourbon market driven by, I'll call it COVID, people not spending money elsewhere and having free cash and spending it on at-home liquor, took demand to new levels that we didn't see, and these guys tried to compensate, and a lot of distilleries bought land and ways to, you know, age barrels. The capacity at the distilleries, I think, is pretty high. They can pump out some clear liquid. The concern had always been on where do we age these barrels for 12 years. So I think a lot of people put, you know, money, stakes in the ground to build warehouses, and now all of a sudden you see a downturn or a slowdown in the demand and the consumption. And like, I personally, I've done it. Like, I've slowed down on the number of bottles I'm buying, working through the inventory that I've got.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people are doing the same. And
I mean, there's only so many bottles of Buffalo Trace Eagle Rare. Like,
sure,
you don't need 20 bottles of Eagle Rare, right?
What I don't know is like, the stuff that I'm buying is the bourbon that I'm going to go buy is not the same as like a standard Jack Fireball.
Correct.
You know, Old Number 7, Seagram's, you know, your classic stuff that's on the shelves. I'll buy classic stuff every once in a while for my mixers and things like that. But there are folks that buy that stuff regular every month.
Yep.
And if that, you know, if Old Jack Number 7 goes away, or demand slows down, or if Seagram slows down, or Fireball slows down, these guys are screwed. So
yeah.
I think that the high-end bourbon market slowing down is an indication of the general market of, like, the people that are buying the, you know, basic shelfer stuff. So curious to see how that all plays out, because I get the sense that maybe everybody stocked up during COVID, and now we're just kind of working off that inventory. Hopefully that means, though, that this high-priced, you know, the high-priced market starts to trickle down to some, you know, lower prices. We're already starting to see that with the full proofs and the stags. They're coming off $50 or so per bottle, which is nice. Love it.
Yep.
Making it readily available and at a better price point for people to buy. The question is what do these folks do that are sitting on these barrels? Do they do anything unique? Do they blend some stuff together? Do they do anything unique with some higher proof stuff? Or higher age stuff? Do we get to see, hey, we got something that's it's a combo of 20 and 25 year stuff? I don't know. We'll see. It's going to take them, you know, another 15 years to get there.
Yep.
But we could be sitting at the beginning of a glut in 5, 10, 15 years where we're going to be sitting pretty if we're brown liquor drinkers. Prices could start to really go down, and we could see some unique blends and all this kind of stuff, you know, fun stuff come out for people that have a bunch of excess inventory and they don't know what to do with it. So who knows? We'll see. Yeah. What about you?
No, I'm with you. I think, you know, I think the you've got your Jack Old Number 7s, and then you've got like kind of the level up from there that's been hard to find. You know, you've got your Buffalo Trace, your Eagle Rares, your E.H. Taylors. Like, I think those types of bottles will become more readily available, theoretically. I don't think any of the high-end stuff will really ever become, you know, shelf staples. I think there's been enough people that have gotten into the hobby and enjoy it and, you know, like bourbon, that you're never going to see Pappy's or BTAC's or Four Roses LEs or anything like that sitting on the shelves.
Yeah.
But I do think there's, you know, there's enough of kind of the, there's enough supply, enough demand that eventually you're going to get to the point where you kind of hit that equilibrium point where the generally good stuff is easy to find. The LEs are, you know, I think always going forward, not going to be easy to find. But I think it's slowing, you know, you see evidence of that through, you know, some of the Buffalo Trace stuff. The standard releases are lasting kind of throughout the day now. You know, you're not, no longer do you have to get there at 6, 7 a.m. before they open at 9 to, right, in order to get a bottle. You know, you can show up at 2 p.m. and there's still going to be stuff on the shelves for you to pick up whatever the bottle is that day.
Yep.
You've seen several days where they've, like the day after the big snowstorm, they released all four of them jail free, like just send them and, you know, limit one, but pick up whatever you want. You can pick up one of each of EH Taylor, Eagle Rare, Blends, Weller.
Right.
So I think things are getting more accessible, which is good. But I think there's been enough people that have gotten into the hobby, have enjoyed bourbon, that you're not going to get to the point where there's just a glut of things sitting on the shelves.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that'll be nice or welcomed for folks that are into it, where a lot of stuff becomes readily available. And I get the sense that you're going to find folks go towards, like, me personally, I've kind of found that, like, Rare Breed, one of the few that I'll go after. Russell Single Barrel, one of the few that I'll go after.
Yep.
Maybe some Four Roses.
Yep.
And, like, a couple of other brands. Like, I've found my niche.
Sure.
Where I want to go.
Yeah, you've tried enough things that you know what you like and what you're after.
And I think that it's going to help ease the fact that there's a bunch out there where people can go try other different stuff. And if you know what you love, go for it. And if you're in the curious exploratory phase, there's plenty to go choose from.
For sure.
And so, like, my shelf will go from 80 different brands down to 10 and still maybe have the same number or, you know, lower the number, but be really focused on, hey, I really love these five or six different brands. These are the ones that I'm going to have two or three bottles of. And then go after the one or two unicorn bottles, or these are the ones that I'm trying something brand new.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to that. I think we're at the beginning stages of that. I think it's great from the standpoint of trying to buy some stuff online or going into a store, not having to, see bare shelves. And I'm happy. So, yeah. I think overall supply-demand dynamics, like, you know, economics 101, supply-demand's undefeated, still going to work out. There's still a strong demand. I think the demand's slowly waning, but I think supply now is starting to catch up.
Yeah, but I think the Brown-Forman Cooperage closing, I mean, that's like a, you know, it's a fairly unique thing. Like, there's not many distilleries that have their own cooperage. And so, you know, that could be a one-off, but it could be a sign of slowing sales. But I think the slowing sale, I mean.
Is there more to the cooperage closing than just, like, they don't want to own it anymore? Or, like, hey, they want to get out of wood farming? Or
could be. I don't know.
Skill labor?
But I think they're not making, it's a public company, they're not making money on Jack 12 and Jack 14. Like, there's so few bottles of those that those are going to sell out. They're going to be done. Like, they're making money on Jack, you know, regular old Jack Daniels. They're making money on Old Forester, you know, 80 proof, Old Forester, 100 proof. They're making money on those shelf staples that just continue to turn over, continue to sell.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious what happens going forward, because I don't think like the, I don't know that the higher end bottles or the more allocated bottles necessarily get impacted as much, at least in terms of layoffs and, you know, some of the stuff that's going on. Like, I think that a lot of that's driven by people aren't buying as much Old Forester 100, Old Forester 80.
Yeah.
Regular old Jack Daniel. Like, that, the volume of those is what generally drives the, you know, the revenue and
I would agree.
Such for Brown-Forman. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but I have a hard time believing that, you know, the super LE sorts of things are ever going to be on the shelves. I think some of the mid-range stuff you might find more here and there. But
what
who
I
knows?
What I think's great about a, if I think about this, if I think about this from a Bardstown
mm-hmm.
Bourbon Company perspective,
mm-hmm.
what's genius about their model is they built such excess capacity, not only in the distilling process,
yep.
but also the warehouse
yep.
process. And they toll for a handful of labels, and they make their own stuff. They make their own juice.
Correct.
But they have warehousing capability for a lot of different people. And there's folks that, there's distilleries that can't warehouse the amount that they wanted to warehouse.
Yep.
So, like, they have other brands' barrels sitting in their warehouses.
Oh, for sure.
To age them.
Many.
And what's great is like, if bourbon takes off continually and more people are asking for just a place to put their barrels, they can say yes. They can also say no because they want to age their barrels.
Their own stuff, yep.
If bourbon drops off and there's no demand for it and less barrels, well, there's still people that have barrels in there for another 5, 10, 12 years. And okay, that those take up shelf space, but they're also they can then start to put their own juice in there and let it age for as long as they want.
Yep.
And now they have the freedom to kind of play around, and they're just more or less, how do we, you know, lower fixed cost or and or make
yeah.
sure that we've at least got some sort of a barrel fit in every single shelf space in all of our 12 different warehouses. Like, they are the most well positioned to ebb and flow with the market. And like, when the market has a downturn, I get the sense that they're going to just have more and more of their stuff. And as a guy that loves their stuff,
yep,
I look forward to a downturn because I get the sense that it's just going to be more Bardstown product out there.
You bump that 6 year to an 8 year to a 10 year.
Yep.
And
or they're going to have some crazy unique thing come out.
Right.
So, I've always said that Bardstown's really cool from the high tech stuff, but also like they're brand new and the business model of making sure that they're getting cash in the door, they've always been astute to that, it feels like.
Sure.
I feel like they're well positioned to manage this storm of if the market tanks and there's not a lot of bourbon drinkers out there, that they're still going to be able to do some crazy stuff and market it well, but also they seem well positioned. Now there's others, you know, long staple products that are going to be out there for a long time. The Buffalo Trace stuff is going to have good brand recognition, Old Forester, all that stuff, Jack Daniels. But, yeah, I think Bardstown's going to be here for a while.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hope they're here for a while. Me too. I'm with you. I love everything that they're doing. But I'll be curious to see, like, you know, you watch the trend of craft beer over the last how many years, and, you know, there's no real aging aspect of that. Yeah. But, like, you saw how many things popped up and how many things are – how many brands, how many companies are, you know, ceasing doing craft beer because there was such a glut of companies, products, things going on in that market that you just can't keep up. versus, you know, bourbon's kind of the same way. It seems like there's all sorts of NDPs, all sorts of craft distillers. They're just flooding the market with, you know, new brands, new labels, new things to try. And so be curious to see what the demand looks like and what, you know, consumer preference looks like. Because, you know, for me, it's interesting because I'm all in on, you know, let me try something different. Let me try, you know, something unique, something local, something different, something that isn't, you know, kind of the legacy distillery that I know what I'm getting. But I know there's a lot of people that are like, I like this. I like Buffalo Trace. I will keep buying Buffalo Trace. I don't really care to try anything else. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how things kind of ebb and flow between consumer demand and, you know, what the different distilleries are putting out. Because some, you know, Buffalo Trace has a vodka, you know, with Clicks and with, you know, the Wheatley vodka and some of the other things they've got going on. So they've got a little bit of flexibility with what they're doing. Some of these other craft distilleries, the NDPs that are just doing bourbon, like if the bourbon demand slows down, like what are they going to do? They don't have anything else going on.
Right.
So who knows?
We'll see. It could be good for us as the price goes down. It could be detrimental if they just decide to shift to other liquors of choice. But
true. But as the barrels continue to age and continue to cost money, you know,
working capital.
Recently, as recent trends have showed you, the price of bottles of high aged bourbon have not come down. They've continued to increase.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who knows? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I'm with you. Well, this was fun, man.
Indeed.
I think we've got a nice, solid chunk of time here to do
That's
a
right.
Pour for the Chorus episode, Juice Talk, maybe even two Juice Talks. We'll see. It's going to be a long editing process, I'll tell you that.
That's fair.
3 hours long.
We've been chatting it up for a while here.
It's going to be some editing.
Which is good.
I have to palm this off to Dave.
That's right.
Get the interns
on it. They took 7 months to get our other two episodes loaded. So, you know, at the pace we're going in recording episodes, like, you know, 7 months to get this thing edited and loaded. Not that bad.
No, not that terrible.
Not that bad.
We gotta get more frequent though. I'm with you.
We do. What do we got? We've got
Trails,
Pack, Sheep. We've got
we've probably got
an episode on Preserve and Shorties.
Preserve Shorties, yeah.
So we've got those four, and then I think we should do an episode on food, drinks, miscellaneous,
yeah,
Bandon, etc.
Yeah.
So I think we've got five Bandon episodes left.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, and that's not inclusive of whatever we get to do this year. I mean, to do five in the next winter is tough. We're gonna have to go. We gotta get pedal to the metal. We gotta hammer this out because this summer is gonna be busy. We might be, you know, playing a lot of Brookside, playing a lot of Urbana, playing a lot of other places. We could be getting up north. You know, we gotta get last year's stuff.
That's right.
In the books,
especially with, you know, with Juice Talk and with our potential spinoff in the golf course review category.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna have quite a few things that we need to hash out and review and talk about. So
we'll figure it out.
That's right.
But this is fun, man.
Absolutely.
Always good.
Always.
Time
always
well
good
spent.
To catch up.
Time well wasted.
That's right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
See ya.
See ya.